Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters. It is so great to see you all here this morning. And as we come into our Father's presence, you know what? We're carrying all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, we're carrying the worries and cares and concerns of the world. We're carrying emotional pain because we see our loved ones hurting, or we're having some kind of a squabble, disagreement, friction with them. We're carrying grief and loss. We're carrying worry for our children. We're carrying the financial fears. We're carrying all kinds of things as we come into the presence of God this morning. And what I want you to be able to do now is be able to turn to the God and Father who is over us all, who has answers for all of our questions, who has comfort for all of our fears, and that we would be able to turn to him and spend some time focused on him and him alone, and to hear from him so that we can leave here refreshed and enabled to serve him in his world. And so as we come into this worship service this morning, let us do so, first of all, remembering the day that we were brought into the kingdom of God and the grace and the love in which we live today because of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, be with us that we can hear your word and learn of your truth, learn of your law, learn of your incredible grace and gospel. Lord, I pray that you would be with us to help us to serve and help us to sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us to help us to persevere, to give us the strength, the energy, the stubbornness, Lord, to hold on to you, Lord, as you hold on to us, so that we can keep our faith alive, Lord, until the end. All these things we pray in your holy name. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins. As we come into his presence, one thing again we notice is that we are not perfect. Anybody surprised by this? Okay, we are not perfect. We need his forgiveness. And the thing is that we are driven by our faith and by the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us to lay our sins at his feet and to be forgiven. It's the most amazing blessing that God gives us, is that he does not hold our sins against us. We do not get what we deserve, but we get grace. So let's confess and let us receive that merciful, gracious forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to this God who is gracious, this God who loves us in spite of anything we have done, this God who has loved us and forgiven us and is loving us to his presence. Let's sing.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, for streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, abound in the shining down on me, and the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road's harvest offering, for the same in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Our hymn of the month is My Jesus, I Love Thee. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Christ paid for our forgiveness on Calvary's tree because he loves us.
Love me because
The scripture reading for this morning is from Psalm 27. Short psalm, beautiful psalm. It deals with how God, okay, is there for us in the present, in our help when we need that, and in the future. When we deal with fear or death, okay, or grief, things like that, which we all face. So let's see what David has to say about this. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in straight paths because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Darwood. And the scripture reading for today, the sermon text, comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 29. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is God's word for today. Children, it is now time for the children's message, so come on forward. All right. And how are you guys all doing today? Wonderful. I am so glad to hear it. You guys enjoying this beautiful weather? Yeah. Did you guys see the rain this morning?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. Did you get wet?
No.
No? Good. I'm glad you didn't get wet in the rain at least. All right. Well, here's what I want to show you today. What I want to show you today is I want to show you what I'm really very proud of is my perfectly clean piece of paper right here. Isn't that amazing? You like it? My perfectly clean piece of paper. What do you think? Nobody has anything to say? You think this is perfectly clean? Yeah. You think it is?
Yeah.
What about this right there? Not so perfectly clean? Yeah. Perfect is a kind of a high bar, right? I mean, perfectly clean means nothing's wrong with it at all, that it would be perfect. Yeah, I mean, think about it, because, I mean, if it was a perfect piece of paper, it wouldn't even have these two dots, or all these wrinkles, or the folded corners. It would be perfect. Think about how perfect is, right? It's like brand new, if still in the box with the cellophane still on it, right? I mean, just like absolutely amazing. And this is a lot like what our hearts are. This is a lot like this is our problem with sin, okay? Because what does Jesus say? What do we have to be like to get into heaven? You know what God says? We have to be perfect. Are you perfect? You think so? Should I ask your mom? Yeah. Here's the thing: is that we're kind of already not perfect when we're born, but then it doesn't take us very long after that to do things that aren't very good, right? I mean, not obey mom and dad, not do our chores, not obey teachers, not treat our friends nicely, all the things that we kind of forget and kind of not do right, correct? Yeah. And so the thing is it's not very long, and it's not just one little dot on us, but it's a whole bunch of marks all over the place, right? So are we perfect? No. So how do we get to go to heaven then? I mean, if we're not perfect, can we go to heaven? Well, here's what happens is Jesus dies for us, right? And when Jesus died for us, he took away our old lives. And this happens in baptism, all right? When we're baptized, we get credit for this, that Jesus takes away our old life and gives us a brand new life. Is that pretty nice? Is that pretty perfect? And so if God gives us a brand new life that is all clean and perfect, can we go to heaven now? Isn't that amazing? And that's what forgiveness means. He takes all of the sin away, and he makes it so that we are completely, perfectly clean. Isn't that cool? Is God pretty amazing that he does that for us? Yeah. Should we pray about that? Thank God. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for dying on the cross for us to take away our sin so that we can be perfect in your eyes, Lord, so that we can be in heaven with you forever. Thank you for loving us so much, Jesus. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, it is now time for a little worship. That means that you can meet at the cross. Looks like Miss Joni has the cross today. So if you guys would meet at the cross and you guys can go and have teaching just for you and the rest of us. I'm going to hide this again. All right. So now, my friends, have you ever had one of those times in life where things change very suddenly? And I don't mean like a small change. I mean like a life-altering change, things that make life different, and it will never ever go back, right? You know, like becoming an adult. Now, the reason I don't like that excuse is because, that example is because it's kind of a process. You know, it's like you graduate from high school. Have you become adult? Well, a little bit more. You know, and it kind of over time you become an adult as you learn how to do all that. The thing is that I'm talking more about like becoming a parent, you know? Still can see that it's kind of a process, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there was the whole pregnancy thing and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is that when you become a parent, when you look into the eyes of that child, even earlier when you feel that child inside, it's a shock and a change because your life is now going to be very different. You know, it's kind of funny because I've talked to a lot of my friends about this stuff, and, you know, none of us can remember what it was like to live before kids. I think God does that on purpose. You know why? Otherwise, we might miss it. Because when you have children, it's hard. There's a lot of work in it. Everything from when they're newborns and they're waking up every few hours and you're getting absolutely no sleep and you're pouring all of your energy into this child, to the times when they're like 27 going on 28 and you're moving them. I just got back from Iowa, moving my son from Columbia to Ames, Iowa, so that he can continue his education in Iowa State University. And my son likes second-story apartments. I don't. On Thursday, we loaded his truck. My watch tells me that I walked 12,300 steps, half of which hauling things that were heavy. Then we drove, and then the next day, I'm 50, how old am I? 52, right? Yeah, very good. The next day, we unloaded the truck, and my watch tells me I did 11,200 steps, again, half of which lifting something heavy, and at least half the time going up and down stairways. Do we suffer for our children? I'm still feeling it. All right? I mean, my legs are tired. Guys, listen. We struggle for our kids, and we do it, and we know we're doing it. We're feeling it. You know, the money that we spend on their education, that would be amazing European vacations. You know, I mean, it's just the amazing things that we do without. And the question I ask you is this: do you resent it? No, we don't, which is bizarre because it's hard. Because it's just plain giving. It's not with any expectation of getting anything back. I often joke with my children. I say, you know, your education is an investment, and I expect dividends. I'm not living with much hope, but the thing is this, is that we know we're not going to get anything back from this. So why is it that we don't resent it? And it's because we love them. And if we love them, we sacrifice for them. And it's not even a begrudging sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that brings us joy. Isn't that an incredible relationship that God has created between parent and child? And you know, there's a lot to learn in that relationship when we're the child. Because here's what we have, is we have this God who loved us so much that we were this juvenile delinquent, okay? I mean, we were that kid that was like always causing trouble, rebelling against God, rebelling against any kind of authority that's out there, the one that wants our own way. We want what we want, and we don't care who has to die to get it for us. That's who we are. We were that person who was living completely selfishly, the person who is all about ourselves, and God loved us anyway. And he loved us so much that he adopted us into his family. And in order to do that, he had to take all of your sin on himself, because his children could only be the perfect ones, right? And so, I mean, in order to be in the family of God, we had to be perfect. We had to be forgiven. We had to be. And the only way that could happen was for him to take the credit, for him to take the blame, for him to take the guilt, and for him to pay the punishment for us. And at that great expense, God adopts us into his family, and he makes us his own. And when it happens, it is like being a parent. It's bigger than becoming a parent. When you become a parent, your thought processes change. I mean, at that point, you know, you think first of your child. You don't think first of yourself anymore. It's like, I'm going to make sure this little person has everything they need before I start worrying about myself. You know, you think in terms of when you buy a car, having that little person or little people changes what kind of car you buy, what kind of house you buy, everything is changed because of this little person. Well, when you become a child of God, God changes your mind. We call it conversion, and it's a true miracle. It's a conversion, changing you from one thing into another, changing you from a purely selfish person who is at war, an enemy of God, that juvenile delinquent that rebels against any authority, to a person who loves God, who receives from God, who wants to do what's right. Even though we in our weakness continue to do what is wrong, we want to do what's right. That heart change, that change of our nature, that change of how we approach life, it is pervasive. It changes everything. And just like being a parent changes your identity, I went from Bob to being Dad. That's a big change. But when I'm adopted by God, I go from being a sinner, a rebellious one, to being one of God's children, a regenerate one, one who has been redeemed, one who has been restored, and one who has been shown the love that God has. One who is no longer anxious about our heavenly, our final destination. You know, where are we going to be after we die? We're no longer worried about that because we have the confidence of God's promise that our sins have been covered and that we are redeemed. We don't worry about the things in our life the way we used to because we know that we aren't the one that's in control, but that our Heavenly Father is. And that it is our job to wisely use the things that he has given us and to do the things that he has told us to do and to allow him the space to be God, to not try to be our own God and to provide for ourselves and to overtake his part of the equation. We will be his people. He will be our God. It changes everything. I mean, all of a sudden, you're not just an employee, you're a Christian employee. You're not just a spouse, you're a Christian spouse. God redefines everything in your life. You're not just a parent, you're a Christian parent. And God has things to say about all of these different roles that we are in our lives. He tells us, this is when you are a spouse, this is how I want you to live. When you are an employee, this is how I want you to live. When you are a master and a boss, here is how I want you to live. When you are a child, here is how I want you to live. He teaches us all of these things. And we want to do them because he has given us a new heart. Just think about that. You know that we are new. You know, Paul says something rather disturbing in this reading here. You know, he talks about this new relationship that we have with God, and he says how this has changed him because since he was brought into the family of God, he has received a commission, a job. And this is something that all of us have received, right? Which is that we would bring the gospel to the people that we come into contact with. In Paul's case, he was a missionary, and he went from place to place to place preaching. But God has told us also that as we go through life, as we live out the life that God has given us, as we meet people, that we are to share the love, the gospel, the word of God with them. And that in Peter it tells us that we are to do this with gentleness and respect, but we are to do this. It is our responsibility. But Paul says something really alarming at this point, and he says, he goes, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, why is that kind of a little disturbing? I mean, if Paul is suffering to make up for what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions, what does that mean? I mean, what did Jesus say on the cross right before he died? It is finished. So if Jesus said it is finished, then what possibly could be lacking? Right? Well, what he's getting at is this. He's saying, look, there's the plan of salvation that God has given us is that Jesus died for all of our sin. That is completely done. But then he invites us into his ministry. You know, he could have done all of the evangelism himself too. But he didn't choose to do that. In God's wisdom, he chose to welcome us into his ministry, that we would be able to work with him, and that we would be the agents that would lead other people into this relationship with God, that we would be so changed by our salvation, that we would be so freed from our guilt and the sin that burdens us down, that we would be so comforted by the constant presence of God in our lives, that things would be so different for us that we would want other people to have this gift as well. And that because we love them and because we love the God who changed us, that we would proclaim this message. And we proclaim this message knowing that because we do so, we will bear a cost. There will be a price to pay. There'll be a price to pay in many different ways. There'll be a price to pay because, you know what, we live in cancel culture, and if you start saying things that whoever the mob runs the mobs doesn't like, you might get in trouble for it. And the question is it worth it? Someone's eternal soul? What do you think? It might cost us time, because if we have to go over and talk to our neighbor, we notice that our neighbor's not having a terribly great day of it, and we go over and listen to them and talk to them, and they actually talk to us, do you know what? It might take a while. You might have to give up doing something else. You might have to not do another thing that you really, really wanted to do, and the question is it worth it? Another person's eternal soul. You know what? It might cost you money. You know, what happens if you, like, come to church and the pastor tells you, hey, look, one of the ways we worship God is that we give of this finite amount of resources that God has given us, and we give a significant portion of it back to him. And in doing so, we discipline ourselves to trust God and not the money. You know, we're putting our money where our mouth is, literally. We're saying, we trust God, not this. And so I'm going to give this to God, and I'm going to trust him to work it out, right? We also are acting, this is an act of worship, where we are giving God and serving and giving to God sacrificially. Is that a thing? Yeah, all of this is true, that this is an act of worship, that we are living in obedience to God, that we are exemplifying our trust to God, which is also teaching us to trust God. It is a wonderful mystery, this whole idea of giving in church. It's not just something we do because church needs money. You know, if God needed that, could God, like, find a way to fund his church without us? His checkbook is rather large. You know, he could do it. But again, he chooses to use us not because he needs us, but because we need him. And so, could it cost us money? What happens if we are out in the world and we see somebody who is in need, somebody that we know, somebody with whom we have a relationship, one of our neighbors, and they're just in a terrible fix. Life just, you know, ganged up on them. And you know how that can happen, right? And they're in a really bad way, and they need a significant amount of money, and you have the money. but you had plans for the money. Would you be willing to sacrifice so that you could exemplify the love of God to somebody? Getting uncomfortable, ain't it? Yeah, the thing is that when we witness, we're not just witnessing with words, we're witnessing in truth, in deeds, in how we live, just not in what we say. We do it with generosity, we do it with opulence, and with just like we were loved by Jesus with ridiculous excess that he went to the cross to save us. How, if God has done all that for us and if he has given us so much, how can we not be liberal and giving, sacrificial? And so what Paul is saying is he's saying, guys, in other places he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Do what I'm doing. Let me show you how it's done. Let me show you how to sacrifice. Paul lived, didn't have a house, just went from town to town preaching, stayed with people, you know, he lived on generosity of others. He did work to support himself as well. There was a lot of stuff going on, but he gave of himself. He could have had a very cushy life as a teacher, but he gave it all up so that he could speak the gospel. That was Paul's calling. That's what God called Paul into. The question is, what is God calling you into? I know at least he's called you into our congregation, and he's made you one of us. And so as a person, as a Christian who lives in the context of our congregation, one of your roles in life is to support this ministry and to help us as we work together to do God's work in this community. And let me tell you what, there's so many things to do. Right now I'm stressing out about how to get 3 classrooms painted and the walls patched and all that kind of stuff. And so if anybody has those gifts, please talk to me. We got all kinds of different things that need to be done around here. I mean, we want to start a grief share group, and I need a facilitator to lead that. I mean, we want to, there's so many different ministries, and there's so many. But we need to be all in working together to get God's work done. And let me tell you what, there will be struggle involved. You will sacrifice. You will give up something else in order to serve. But that is what we're called to do. Are we called to do this so that God will love us? No. Is it too late for that? Yeah, God already loves you. There is nothing you're going to do to get God to love you more. We do it because God has changed us. When we were baptized, when we were brought to faith, as the Spirit works in our lives and gives us faith and teaches us and points out our sin and points out our selfishness and shows us new ways to live, that we would want to follow him. We want to do these things. We want to sacrifice. It's the most bizarre thing. It's just as strange as being a parent, where we glory and we have joy in the struggle and in the suffering. It is exactly that same kind of love that we have for our God, that we will joy in struggling and suffering for him. And this is what it is to live out our faith, to live it every single day and every single decision. And what does God call you into? I wish I could answer that in a general sense, but it doesn't work that way. God created each and every single one of you with unique gifts and abilities and has put you in just the right place where where opportunities to use those gifts exist. Your job is to listen to the Holy Spirit as he guides you through life and to boldly grab those opportunities when they arise. And to tenaciously be with your eyes open, looking for those opportunities, because they are out there. Does that make sense? I mean, what an adventure we have, you know? I mean, what happened if our life, what if our life had some greater meaning? What happens if God has adventures out there that are going to stretch us and bend us and cause us to suffer, but do it in a way that brings such wholeness and fulfillment because we are finally doing the things that God has created us to do? And how can we take this faith that God has given us and bring it into every facet of the life that we are already living? That every relationship isn't just a relationship, but is a Christian relationship. That we exude grace. That we speak love, speak graciousness, and spread forgiveness. My friends, it is a wonderful adventure that God has in front of us. Let's live it boldly, trusting in Him. Don't forget this. The last thing that Paul says, to this end, all of that stuff, right? To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Is it on you to do this alone? If you're doing it alone, are you doing it wrong? Yeah, exactly. See, this is the thing. You're not supposed to do this alone. You're supposed to do this with God. You're supposed to do this with your family. You're supposed to do this with the Word. You're supposed to do this with the sacrament. You're supposed to do this with encouragement, with the strength that God gives. So let's pray to God, and let's ask Him for that strength as we work to live this life. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You have saved us. Thank You that You have brought us into Your kingdom, that You have given us a mission, a purpose, something that is so incredibly important, so valuable, Lord, the salvation of souls. Lord, I pray that You would give us courage, give us guidance, give us words, give us wisdom. Just help us, Lord, to be able to do this task that You have given us, Lord. Most of all, Lord, give us the strength that only You can give. Give it to us abundantly, Lord, so that we can serve You. Teach us, Lord, how to sacrifice with joy. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us now continue. And we're going to continue our worship by doing that act of worship we talked about earlier, which is giving. That we will give a portion of what God has given us back to Him. We do this as an act of faith. We do this to learn faith. We do this as a confession that God is the one who provides.
Is the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Like never before. worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name. Worship your holy name.
My friends, let's stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are such a great God. Not only did you create this world, Lord, this universe, this place that we inhabit for us, Lord, to enjoy, but when we fell into sin, Lord, you redeemed us and brought us back into a relationship with you and are now in heaven creating a place for us to come to be with you forever. Lord, you are a great God, beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, your church, while we live in this world, that we live in this world where sin is still has a grip, where we are still suffering under its curse. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would be strong, Lord, that you would hold us close to you, Lord, and keep us, Lord, from losing our faith in this world. I pray that you would instead use us to work with others, Lord, to serve others, to love others, to speak your truth to others so that they also can be saved, so that they can hear the gospel, Lord, that the Spirit can work through that gospel, Lord, and they can be brought into this amazing faith relationship as well. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we struggle, as we strive, as we suffer, as we give, in order that more people can be reached by your grace. Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us in all ways, Lord, that you have given us health, Lord, that you have given us the ability to be here this morning. And Lord, we know that some people are struggling with their health. I pray that you would continue to be with them, Lord, that if it's your will, that you would heal them, Lord, that they would be able to be restored to your service, Lord, and serve you in all the ways that you have called them to do so. That you would be with them as they struggle, that you would be their comfort, that you would be their strength, Lord, and that you would preserve them in their faith. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with each and every family of our church, that you would raise up the men to be spiritual leaders in the family, that you would help the women to the mothers, Lord, to raise their children in the faith, that you would work in the hearts and minds of these young ones, that you would engender in them, Lord, a stronger and stronger faith in you so that they don't need to worry about anything but can trust you every day, knowing that you are the one who provides for us. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those who struggle and strive in ministries of our congregation. I pray that you would be their strength, that you would hold them up, that you would give them wisdom, Lord, and help them to do the work that you have given them to do, and to do that with a cheerful heart, Lord. All these things we bring to you, Lord, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Your glory, God, is
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up but be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again.
As always, our God gives us exactly what we need. We come to this meal, and here we receive forgiveness for all the sins that we have committed. And you know, I kind of laugh at this all the time because, you know, we come in, and the first thing is we remember our baptism in which we receive forgiveness, and then we do the confession absolution in which we receive forgiveness, and then we do the readings in which we receive forgiveness, the sermon. Hopefully I mentioned forgiveness in the sermon. And then we have the Lord's Prayer where we say, forgive us our trespasses, and then we are forgiven. Very good. And then we go into the Lord's, and then we go into the Lord's Supper where you are once again. Do you get it yet? Exactly. It's like we said, God just does this. It's this refrain throughout the service. You're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. He hopes it soaks in and that we are actually able to leave liberated from our sin, not held back by strings of guilt and regret and all that stuff, but that we would be able to leave what is past behind and move forward with boldness to live out the life that our God has mapped out for us and to do it with the strength that he gives us also in this gift, that we leave here with energy, with spiritual strength, and with passion that comes from the faith that God has given us. And so as we go our way, and strengthened by this gift, strengthened by his word, depart in his peace, in his joy. Amen. And may receive our Lord's blessing as you go your way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise together, because what a Savior he is.
sacrifice, keeper of this life. Alleluia, you are Savior, beginning and the end, forgiver of my sin. By your mercy,
have a seat, my friends. After the service today, we have Bible study, and that Bible study is going to be kind of like the next stage to what we just talked about in the sermon. This time I told you, go out and share the faith, right? In Bible study today, we're going to be talking about how do you go out and share the faith. You're like, you know, kind of helps to be a little prepared. So stick around for Bible study today. Let's see here. Rummage sale is coming up. Notice in the bulletin telling you about where to drop off and when. High school send-off is coming up, and that's also in the bulletin. But we like to collect photos and various other things for that event. And so if you have any high school graduates that we're sending off to college or whatever they're going to be doing next in life, please send in that stuff. And ushers, we're going to be having an usher training coming up. Again, look in the bulletin. I got lots of good stuff in the bulletin. We really should read that occasionally. I would love to say I read the bulletin every week, but sometimes I don't, which is just terrible. So yeah, let's all read the bulletin together. We'll just kind of make a deal here. All right, with that, my friends, God's blessings on your week. If anybody wishes to have individual prayer, Steve Manger, one of our elders, is right by the prayer chapel, ready to pray with you. God's blessings.